Alhamdulillah hamdan muafiyan li ni'amih mukafiyan li mazidi was salatu was salamu ala sayidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa junudi amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim idh qala li sahibihi la tahzan innallaha ma'ana wa qala ta'ala kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Among the most fierce battles that were fought in the beginning of the life of Khilafat of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an was the battle of Yamama. This battle of Yamama was fought against Musaylama Al-Kadhab, the great imposter who claimed to be a Nabi, and Sahaba radiallahu anhu had fought against him under the leadership of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu an. It was in this battle that Wahshi radiallahu an, who was the one who previously killed Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu an, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the battle of Uhud, in order to expiate and to cover up that killing of Hamza radiallahu an, he killed Musaylama the imposter. Wahshi radiallahu an says that I killed him in order to cover up for me killing Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu an in my time of disbelief and kufr. So this was a very fierce battle. And in this battle, many Sahaba radiallahu anhum had lost their lives. Specifically those Sahaba, there were quite a few Sahaba who lost their lives in this battle that were Huffaz of the Qur'an Majeed. They were those that had memorized the Qur'an Majeed. Up till this time, the Qur'an Sharif was not compiled in a book form. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an came down on different occasions. Bit by bit, the Qur'an came down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would call his scribes. They would write down the verses of Qur'an. It was written down, but all over, scattered all over. It was not compiled in one book form. And there were many Huffaz who had lost their lives in this battle. So Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an had the fear that if this has to continue and more Huffaz of the Quran have to lose their lives, then it is possible that there will be certain ayat of the Quran Majeed which will get lost. And we will not have those ayat of Quran. Hence he came with this concern to Abu Bakr radiallahu an. And he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, إِنَّ الْقَتْلَ قَدْ إِسْتَحَرَّ بِأَهْلِ الْيَمَامَ, that so many Sahaba have lost their lives in Yamama, in this battle of Yamama. Hence I feel that we need to gather the ayat of Qur'an Majeed and compile it in one book. The response of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an is noteworthy. It's a very great suggestion that Umar radiallahu an brought to him. But his response was, كَيْفَ أَفْعَلُ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, how do you expect me to do something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not compile it in one book. How can I compile the Quran in one book form? But then Umar radiallahu an goes on explaining to Abu Bakr radiallahu an the importance of this. Until finally Abu Bakr radiallahu an also understood that this is something which is extremely important. And then both of them summoned Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu an, who was a scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they tell him that we want you to do this. Zayd radiallahu an gives the same answer. كَيْفَ تَفْعَلَانِ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, how can you two do something that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do? The caution of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the adherence to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we only can do that thing which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And they tried their utmost to adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah bless us with one fraction of the love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the adherence that they had to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, finally the Quran Majid was compiled in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu under his supervision as per his instruction. Therefore, this is regarded as one of the great accomplishments of Umar of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Although it was a suggestion of Umar radiallahu anhu, but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had given that instruction. So it is regarded as one of the great accomplishments of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to such an extent that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ أَجْرًا فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ, that the one who will be rewarded the most with regards to the Qur'an Majid being compiled in a book form is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because of him giving that instruction. We had discussed one great thawab-e jariyah which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had, and he is continuing to receive the rewards of it, and that was he purchased the land for Masjid al-Nabawi. And before that we had discussed one before that, and that was he was the first free male to accept Islam. And because of that, he will receive the reward of all other people that accept Islam right till Qiyamah after him. This is another great thawab-e jariyah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, that whoever recites the Qur'an Majid, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anh will get a share of that reward, because he was instrumental in compiling the Qur'an Majid. So this was one great accomplishment of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh during his khilafah. Then there were various wars that were fought during his time. The Muslim Empire grew. They fought the superpowers of the age, the Persian Empire, until they nearly brought the Persian Empire to the heels. They took over the entire Iraq, a large portion of Iran as well. And then there were wars that were taking place against the Romans as well, the other great superpower, to such an extent that the very, very famous Battle of Yarmouk, which was the greatest blow to the Romans, was fought in the last few days of the Khilafat and the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So, in that sense, the Muslim Empire, one is the internal issues that he had to take care of, that we had discussed last week, great challenges, and how he had taken control. And together with that, the Islamic Empire grew quite vastly in his time. Then he had implemented various systems. Obviously, he was the first Khalifa. Now Islam was growing. There were governors that needed to be appointed. Newly conquered lands. There were systems that need to be put in place. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, despite his Khilafah being so short, he had implemented various systems, detailed guidelines regarding appointing someone as a governor or appointing someone to a certain position, and then directives for that person, how he should be conducting himself. Various details of this have been recorded in the books of hadith and the books of history, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had implemented these systems during his khilafah. Together with the great position that he had, this position never changed him. And unfortunately, this is something that very, very few people can manage. Position and wealth, although everyone desires it, everyone desires position, everyone desires wealth, and everyone will feel that I can manage it. But very few people, very, very few people can manage position and wealth. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was appointed as Khalifa, then some of the small girls in the neighborhood, they commented and they said, Al-an la tuhlabu lana mana'ihu darina. From today, there will be no one to milk our goats and our sheep for us. Which meant that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was milking their goats before becoming Khalifa. Despite being the greatest person after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't feel it below his dignity to serve people to such an extent that he was milking the goats of his neighbors. Service to humanity, despite his greatness. And this explains his humility. But nevertheless, one girl commented that as from today he has become Khalifa, he will not milk our goats. Where is the Khalifa going to milk our goats? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard this, he said, Bala la amri la ahli bannaha lakum. Indeed, most definitely, I will still continue milking your goats. And then he mentions a very, very important statement. May Allah bless us with the reality of the statement. He says, وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَلَّا يُغَيِّرَنِي مَا دَخَلْتُ فِي أَنْ خُلُقٍ كُنْتُ عَلَيْهِ. He says, I have hope that the position that has been given to me, that position that I have earned now will not change me from the ways that I had before this position. I have this hope that this position will not change my ways. It will not change the manner in which I will interact with people. How common it happens. We say it on a lighter note, but there's great lesson. A person is driving a Toyota Corolla, you make salam with him. With two hands, he'll make walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then just move on to a German vehicle, BM, Audi, Merc. And then what happens? He gets a stiff neck. Then he can't turn because now he's driving something else. I'm not driving the Japanese anymore. I moved up the ladder. Then maybe one finger you get from him, that's ghanimat. That's a big thing. One finger answer also. What happened? Just that wealth and how it changes our approach. People are viewed according to the wealth they have. The man may be a high flyer. The day he loses everything, no one looks at him. Why? Who was being respected? It wasn't that person that was being respected. It was the wealth that was being respected. The father, as long as he is financially stable, as long as he can benefit his children materially, the father is respected. The day the father can't do anything, then the father is a liability, he's not an asset. Why, respected friends? Because of our mind becoming materialistic. And that's a topic on its own. Obviously, we don't want to intervene into this topic or interrupt this topic. But in the beginning of the year, it's a very important decision that we need to make as parents. That do I want to make my child a money-making machine? Or do I want to make my child a person that has values, a person that has qualities? If my child is only materialistic, my focus is only on material, that my child must get the best school education, even if it means compromising on the iman and deen of my child, no matter what it may be, my child must have a very, very good job, a top career, my child must get the best education. Respected friends, the first person to suffer the brunt of that will be the parents. Because that child only knows material. That child only reasons with rands and cents, assets and liabilities. This parent of mine is no more an asset for me. The parent is a liability. Dump the parent in an old age home. This is happening before our eyes. We need to take heed to this. And we need to understand that more important than this, we are not saying that we should not educate our children, but more important than that is to instill within them the correct imani values, and because of that, we as parents will benefit as well. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anh says that I have this hope that this position will not change me. It will not make any difference to what I was doing. And then he would continue as Khalifa. He's the Khalifa of the Muslims. He would continue milking the goats to such an extent, he will even ask them, how do you want it to be milked for you? You want it with froth, without froth? To that extent, we only know about the foam on the coffee. We want so much of froth on the coffee. Here he's saying, with froth or without froth, I'll milk it for you how you want. To that extent, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh served the people of his neighborhood, and that position never changed him. A few days after he became Khalifa, Umar radiallahu anh and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh were walking, and they see Abu Bakr radiallahu anh carrying some clothing on his back, and he is going to the marketplace. Oh Abu Bakr, where are you going? Radiallahu anh. He says, I need to do business. How am I going to run my home? So they say to him, no, you can't do this. Who's going to run the affairs of the Muslims? We will stipulate an allowance from you from the public treasury. Now, as South Africans, we don't need to be explained. No one needs to explain to us what happens and how much of allowance is required. The allowance of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh from the public treasury was two garments. Two garments, one for summer, one for winter. When these two garments are worn out, then the next two will be given. And then one conveyance for his journeys. And whatever he would spend on his family prior to the position, that amount would be given to him from the Baytul Mal. Nothing more than this. This was the allowance that was given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. And he used that allowance. But when it came to the end of his life, he asked his servant, tell me how much of that wealth that I have received from the Baytul Mal, from the public treasury, is left over. When it was explained, the amount was given to him, he said, return all of this back. Return it to the public treasury because I will be passing away now shortly and I will not need it, so I'm not entitled to it. Not that leave it for my heirs, give it back. I don't need it. And then he says that I have a certain piece of land, sell that land, and whatever you receive from that land, pay it back to the public treasury in lieu of whatever I use during my khilafah. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, he cried and he says, Rahim Allahu Aba Bakrin, may Allah have mercy on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, لَقَدْ أَتْعَبَ مَنْ بَعْدَهُ. He has made it very difficult for those that have come, will come after him. He's setting a very high pedestal. He's setting a very high example. How are we going to reach up to this position? How are we going to manage if he is going to conduct himself in this manner? And then the level of his zuhud, the level of his disinterest in this world, despite that position, the level of the disinterest, on one hand, they are fighting the superpowers. The booty of the Roman and Persian empires are coming. But his level of disinterest in this world was such that on one occasion he asked for something to drink. He asked for water. The water was brought with some honey, slight amount of honey, a small amount of honey was mixed in that water. So it was sweetened. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu takes it, he begins to cry. And the people around him start crying. He cried so much that everyone around him is crying. They don't know why they're crying, but they're seeing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu crying, so they're crying. Then he moves it away. He tries to drink again he begins to cry. When he regains composure, then those around him ask him, "Oh Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, why are you crying?" He says, "On one occasion I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, 'Ilayka anni, ilayka anni, get away, get away.' And I don't see anyone else there." So he asks, "Oh Nabi of Allah, who are you speaking to? Who are you chasing away?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "The dunya has come before me. It has taken a form and it came before me, and I chase this dunya away." We are chasing after the dunya. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam chased the dunya away. He chased it away. So the dunya replied. It took a form and it replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wallahi la in falatta minni la yanfalitu minni man ba'dak." That if you manage to escape from me and save yourself from me, those that come after you will not be able to manage this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, when I saw the sweetened water, what was it? Was it something of comfort, something of luxury? Just a little honey added to the water. He says, when I saw this water, let us compare this to the one type of drinks that we buy. We're speaking about halal drinks. This cocktail and that, how much we spend on it. We're not saying we can't enjoy. Allah has given us within the limits, we enjoy, alhamdulillah, we make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is being presented with water that is sweetened with honey. And he says that I have that fear. When dunya told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that those that come after you won't escape me, I have that fear that this dunya has come to me now. That sweetened water, that water that was sweetened with honey, according to him, was dunya. If he had to see our lives, respected friends, what would he have said? As we explain, we are not saying we can't enjoy. But enjoy in a halal way, earn in a halal way, without extravagance, within limits, and do not get accustomed to luxury. When we become accustomed to luxury, and our children become accustomed to luxury, that's a recipe for our destruction. How many times it happens? Our children can't manage if one small luxury they don't enjoy. They don't enjoy a small luxury, they can't manage. We can't manage without an aircon. Obviously, with today's time, perhaps it becomes a need in Durban especially. But when we become so accustomed, for a little while we went somewhere and there's no aircon, or the aircon is not working in the car, what happens to us? So, we will enjoy whatever Allah has given us. But when we become accustomed to luxury, and our children become accustomed to luxury, which is unfortunately becoming very, very common nowadays, respected friends, the day the luxury is not there, that person can never maintain composure. That person becomes depressed. That person cannot manage with life. Why? Because that luxury that person was addicted to is no more there. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this was his disinterest in the world. And as we said, we will enjoy the dunya in a halal manner. Only halal. Such was his precaution. That on one occasion, his slave, who used to work, generate an income, and bring some income for him, so that slave one day fed him something. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ate that food, ate that meal, he asked that slave told him that you didn't ask me from where I got this money. So he says, where you got this money from? The slave says, pre-Islam, I wasn't a fortune teller, but I deceived someone and I pretended to be a fortune teller. First of all, fortune telling is not permissible. I pretended to be a fortune teller and I predicted the future for a certain person, and he has now paid me back for that job that I did for him. And this is what I have fed you. Now this was haram that entered into his system. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately puts his fingers into his mouth and he vomits everything out. Respected friends, how much of caution do we have? How much of caution do we have eating anywhere, everywhere? Whether the restaurant is serving alcohol, no, I'm only eating seafood. And this kind of neglect when it comes to how we eat and what we eat. And then our income, any type of wealth, whatever the wealth is, as long as the wealth comes. The wealth must come somehow. So the caution that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu exercised when it came to his food, and he vomited everything that he had eaten. Coming to the final days of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his khilafah lasted for 2 years, 3 months and 12 days. 2 years, 3 months and 12 days, 11 to 12 days. This was the length of his khilafah, the duration of his khilafah. A very short period. But as we explain, great accomplishments during this short khilafah, this short period. And so to say, he set the standard for the entire ummah to come thereafter. He had given them the lead that this is how khilafah should be handled and this is how the administration should be taking place. Although there are various reasons that are given for the cause of his demise. One we had mentioned in the beginning, that when he was in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the journey of Hijrah, he was stung by a scorpion. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his Mubarak saliva and placed it on that area, because of which he was cured from the effects of it. But the ulama mentioned that later on, just before the demise of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that poison affected him, and this became the means for his demise. Hence, he is also regarded as a shaheed. Certain sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that although there may be other outward causes for the demise of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the actual cause, kana sababu mawtihi mawtu Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the actual cause for the demise of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since the day Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began declining. His health began to decline. And he could not bear the separation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he gave the ummah the lead and he showed that brave front that he needed to show, but he was declining because he could not manage the separation. Just as Fatima radiallahu anha, 6 months after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Fatima radiallahu anha also passed away. She couldn't manage the separation with her father, with the beloved father Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anha also, his attachment to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so severe that after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha's health began to deteriorate and he began to decline. For 15 days prior to his demise, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha was sick. In that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized that he needed to appoint the next Khalifa. He needs to appoint someone who will take care of the Muslims in order to avoid any types of confusion and problem later on. So again, he never took a unilateral decision. And this was common in his time. Although he was the Khalifa, he had the full right to make decisions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not take a unilateral decision. He called various senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He called Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu an, I wish to appoint Umar radiallahu an, what is your opinion? He says, Abdul Rahman radiallahu an says to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, by Allah, he is better than you think him to be. He is better than you think him to be. Then he calls Uthman radiallahu an, what do you feel about Umar radiallahu an? So Uthman radiallahu an says, inna sariratahu khayrun min alaniyatihi, that his internal qualities, his inside is better than his external. Where do we find this today? Externally we can display, all of us can display a very high level of piety. But internally, in our homes, how do we behave? Hear what he is saying. إِنَّ سَرِيرَتَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَلَانِيَتِهِ. His private life is even better than his public life. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu responds to Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he says that Jazakallah for responding in this way. If I don't appoint him, you are the next candidate. I would have appointed you. Look at the clean heartedness of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Uthman radiallahu anhu was the next candidate. Yet he did not run down Umar radiallahu anhu and try to infer that give me the position. No. This man is the right person. Umar radiallahu anhu is appointed. When it was Monday, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked his beloved daughter Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anhu, what day is this? She says it is a Monday. He says, which day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away? Look at this. The love was so much. Even this, even my mort, even my demise must be on that same day. Although it was not within his control. Which day that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away on a Monday. He says, I hope to pass away today as well. And he did pass away on that day. He gave instructions that if I pass away, don't wait for my janazah. Why? The longer you wait, the longer my separation from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam quicker. I want to be closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So don't delay in my janazah. He gives instruction to his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha that bury me next to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is what has happened. What happened? They were all the time together, and because of them, that Allah blessed them, that they were buried with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The greatest piece of land, even greater than the Kaaba, is that sand that is adjacent to the Mubarak body of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had that privilege. Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu used to say, ثَلَاثَةٌ بَرَزُوا بِفَضْلِهِمْ نَضَّرَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ إِذَا نُشِرُوا فَلَيْسَ مِن مُؤْمِنٍ لَهُ بَصَرُوا يُنْكِرُ تَفْضِيلَهُمْ إِذَا ذُكِرُوا عَاشُوا ثَلَاثَتُهُمْ بِلَا فُرْقَةٍ وَاجْتَمَعُوا فِي الْمَمَاتِ إِذَا مَا قُبِرُوا. He says there were three that were outstanding. May Allah make them shine on the day of Qiyamah. There is no believer who has insight and understanding that can deny the greatness of these people. The three of them, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they lived their lives together. وَاجْتَمَعُوا فِي الْمَمَاتِ إِذَا قُبِرُوا. When they were buried together as well. As it is said, كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. As you will live your life, that's how you will die. That, and as you die, that's how you will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's entire life was in the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, seeing to the comfort of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah blessed him with that mot as well. Every one of us desires for a great mot, for a good mot. But what we need to understand, in order to achieve that mot, in order to acquire that, there are certain exceptions. But generally the system and the pattern is that we will have to live our lives like that. And then Allah will bless us with that as well. And inshallah on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will resurrect us in that way. May Allah resurrect us in the company of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Firstly, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the company of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was passing away, then the last words that emanated from his lips, Rabbi tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin. Oh Allah, bless me with maut as a Muslim, as one who is subservient to you, submitting to you, and join me with the righteous. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's last words was, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni walhiqni birrafiqil a'la. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy with me, on me, and join me with the highest companions. Join me with good companions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's last words were, Rabbi tawaffani muslima walhiqni bis salihin. Oh Allah, join me with the pious. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentions that the dua of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that comes in the Quran Majid, right at the end of Surah Yusuf, Fatir as-samawati wal ard anta waliyyi fid dunya wal akhirah tawaffani muslima walhiqni bis salihin. This was the dua of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He says this is one of the most effective duas for a good death. Let us make this our habit to read this dua. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reads this dua right at the end. Rabbi tawaffani muslima walhiqni bis salihin. And in this way he passes away on the 22nd of Jumad al-Ukhra in the year 12 years after Hijrah, when the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was lying. Ali radiallahu anhu came in and he says, Rahimakallahu ya Abu Bakr. O Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah have mercy on you. And he gave a lengthy sermon, a lengthy discourse explaining and encapsulating the various virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. Obviously we don't have the time to discuss it. Like, you were the first one to accept Islam. Your iman was the strongest. Your yaqeen was such that Allah spoke about your tasdeeq and your believing in Quran. وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ. And then he says, you had the most amount of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had the greatest virtues among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You led and you were the first in everything. You were the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You resemble Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most in your ways, in the manner of your speaking and walking, etc. And he says thereafter, فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَعَنْ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَحْسَنَ الْجَزَاءِ. May Allah reward you the best of reward on behalf of Islam and the Muslims. And we say the same as well. اللهم اجزه عنا وعن الإسلام والمسلمين خير الجزاء. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with one fraction of the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the spirit and passion in which he served the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he adhered to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a fraction of that iman and that yaqeen that he had. And because of the barakah and the blessings of us discussing the life of this great personality, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although we don't deserve it, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us in his company on the day of qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.